This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah ta'ala, we have with us the 21st juz of the Quran. We are in the last part of Ramadan. Subhanallah, it is a very, it's a blessed time. It's a time where we look for the night of power, the night of power in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is better than or has more goodness than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. So our objective should be to try to attain it by doing whatever good we can in it, because whatever good we can do in this in these nights actually is heavier on the scale of judgment, heavier on the scales on the day of judgment than what a person would do on 1,000 or during 1,000 months otherwise. So it's a beautiful opportunity for us. I would encourage all of us to do whatever we can consistently. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that ahabbul a'mali ilallahi adwamuha wa in qalla, meaning the actions that Allah loves the most are the ones that are consistent even if they are small. Quality matters in our religion more than the quantity. So I would encourage, just as a introduction to the topic or just as a side point about the last 10 nights, I would encourage us to do a couple of things. I would encourage us all to constantly, consistently, donate something for the cause, for a good cause during these last 10 nights. This is a very high, easy thing to do, inshallah. Recommended, a small donation. You do it every single night, inshallah, is a nice way of putting forward something consistent action on these nights. Then I would also recommend something consistent, like make a time for yourself to make dua in these last 10 nights consistently every single day. Take a minute or two, hopefully more than that, to really connect to Allah, really, you know, like cut out distractions, raise your hands, really engage and ask Allah. And number three, asking Allah specifically for Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni, the dua the Prophet taught Aisha radiallahu anha, make this beautiful dua, which means, oh Allah, you're the one who loves to forgive. You are the one who forgives, you love to forgive, so forgive me entirely and completely. Make these consistent actions, inshallah. Try to incorporate studying Quran, reading Quran, extra prayers as much as you can. But the key is to remain consistent. And then we ask Allah for acceptance of our good deeds. One thing is that a lot of us, obviously, I think maybe all of us can't go to the masjid to pray. And, you know, that's an unfortunate situation. However, as believers, we're taught by the Prophet ﷺ that, if a person is ill or a person is traveling, then their ajr, their reward, is written by Allah, مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُهُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا, as if they were healthy and at home. The reward is written when they are sick, as if they were healthy. Meaning, if something prevents a person from doing something that is habitually a good deed, that was their habit, now a sickness and illness prevented them from doing so, Allah will continue to write every single day as if that person is still doing that action. So now, if we can't go to the masjid, but you had the habit of going to the masjid for prayers, don't worry, Allah is writing your reward as if you were going to the mosque right now. If you had the habit of, praying Taraweeh in the mosque, praying Isha and Fajr in the mosque, don't worry, Allah is writing your reward, because this is like a sickness that is preventing us from doing what is our normal habit. So this is a beautiful thing in our religion. Don't feel that there is that we're deprived. In fact, to the contrary, we are, alhamdulillah, Allah's mercy is vast, and He will give a lot to us for a little, and He knows that we are barred from our regular practice of our faith. So that reward will not be stopped, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, inshallah, just a couple of things about the last 10 nights. I hope that we will all be able to catch Laylatul Qadr. Now, today we have with us not just the Battle of Badr, But we have Surah Ankabut, the Juz, 21st Juz, begins with the with Surah Ankabut, ayah number 46, in fact. But the surah or the juz contains four main surahs in it: Ankabut, Rum, Luqman, Sajda, in their entirety or their conclusion, and the beginning part of Al-Ahzab, surah number 33. 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. These are the five surahs that are here. These three in their entirety, Surah Ankabut, the remaining or a majority of it, and Ahzab, a little bit of it. What we will cover is we'll cover Ankabut, Ar-Rum, Luqman, and Sajda, and then we will leave Al-Ahzab to later, to inshallah ta'ala, to tomorrow, because Surah Ahzab continues on to the 22nd Juz. All four of these surahs, 29, 30, 31, 32, they all begin with Alif, Lam, Mim, right? They all begin with Alif, Lam, Mim, the disjointed letters, something that you might notice as you are reading them. Let's read what Surah Ankabut, how Surah Ankabut starts. Alif, Lam, Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that once they say we believe, they will be left alone and not be put to test? Allah says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ. We have certainly tried those who had gone before them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Excuse me. وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. So God will certainly distinguish between those who are truthful and those who are lying. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَ. Do those who do evil imagine that they will escape us? How ill is it that they judge? Whoever, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتْ. Whoever hopes to meet God should know that God's appointed hour is sure to come, and He is the all-hearing and all-knowing. And whoever, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Whoever is striving, strives only for himself. God is independent of all of His creation. These are the first six ayat of Surah Al-Ankabut here. Surah Al-Ankabut is the surah, it's named after the spider. And we'll talk about what that means, because there's an example that Allah gives about the house of the spider that's coming up. But the theme of Surah Ankabut is fitna. Fitna. Okay? Fitna in Arabic means a test or a trial. But it is actually, more precisely, the image of something that is a... something that's like a burning oven that is there to purify metal. To purify metal. So you take metal that's been mined from the earth, and then that metal has impurities mixed in it. You put it into a burning oven, and the impurities bubble up to the surface, and the pure metal remains at the bottom. That process in Arabic is called fatana, to put something like a metal in a burning oven to purify it. This is the idea that the Quran uses to talk about tests and difficulties of life. That is how sometimes life is. It is like a burning oven. Like, it is going to be hot. There will be difficulties in life. And that's why Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they can just say we believe and then they won't be tested by Allah? Right? Life is going to be a test. The believers will be tested because they have made the claim that they are believers. And that claim will be tested, and not just tested in like a small way, but tested in a very severe manner, a test that is like a burning oven. Okay, and Allah says that is something that He had done before. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Before as well, believers were tested. Believers will be tested, and they have been tested. This is the way Allah has done things. We certainly tried those who have gone before, right? This is not something to be scared of. It's not something to think that it is only happening to us. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. Also, don't worry, the evil ones aren't getting away. Ayah number 4 tells us that. Those who do evil imagine that they will escape us. how ill is it that they judge, they won't just get away with what they're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that he will take them to task. An important understanding for us to deal with the fitna of life, the difficulties that we will face in life, the burning stress that we will face from time to time, the anxiety that we'll face from time to time. One thing to understand about this is that if we are devoted to Allah, then that devotion that we have is for our own good. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ or وَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ لَآتْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. The one who is hopes to meet God, like that's, you know, that's what the person is who is devoted. They're hoping to meet Allah on the Day of Judgment. Doing so, he's doing it for his own good only. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ. Because Allah is لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah does not have any need of any person. We are in fact the one who is in need. So if we are patient in the face of difficulty, that is actually because that is actually our for our own benefit. But if we are not patient, if we are quickly giving up, then that is actually to our own detriment. And that is an important understanding when we speak about fitna. Now Allah talks about the types of fitna. Ayah number 8 will speak about the fitna of parents. Not just that parents are like some way of fitna, but the fitna of parents in the sense that the parents who are disbelieving and stopping their children from practicing the faith. Okay, Allah says we have enjoined to human beings that they be very good to their parents. Husna. Husna is like something that is not just kindness. This is not a great translation of that word. It is, you know, excellence. It is, you know, the kind of excellence and beautiful conduct that makes the parents happy. Now, what happens if the parents aren't, like you guys are not on the same page? وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ. If they bid you to associate with me something about which you have no knowledge, they are trying to get you to do shirk, then do what? فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا. Do not obey them. If the parents are forcing you to do something sinful, don't, you don't have, you're not obligated to do what they are doing. Okay? Do what they are asking you to do. Excuse me. The obligation is to obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But however, despite the fact that we don't are, you know, we're not going to accept what they're saying, we should still treat them with kindness and gentleness despite our differences, because of who they are, because Allah chose them to be our parents, and of course, in most cases, because they have done really well or done a lot of good things for us. There is also the type of fitna that a person would feel when it comes to practicing their faith. Look at what Allah says in ayah number 10. Some profess to believe in God. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. But when they suffer for God's cause, وَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ. When they're suffering for God's cause, Al-Qurtubi says, Al-Tabari says, that أَذَاهُ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. Okay? This person is now attacked or persecuted by the disbelievers. Okay? أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ. For the sake of Allah. That's what fi here means. What does this person do? Is he like, okay, you know what? This is a test from Allah. I'll be patient. I'll bear it. I'll get through it. Allah will help me. No. جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَعَذَابِ اللَّهِ. He mistakes, or he, more precisely, makes out the persecution of people to be the punishment of God. Okay? Or as if the persecution of people or the test of people, the fitna of people, is like the punishment of God. That's what this person says, or that's how he acts. And either this means this person has abandoned their faith in the face of people that are harming him because he's Muslim, or it means that they have severely compromised what their faith represents. This is actually a type of Islamophobia that we face. You know, people will, you know, this relates to either a person completely abandoning their faith in the face of facing Islamophobia, or peer pressure causing them to leave out large portions of Islam, a devotion to Islam, the pressure from people around causes them to do that. So Allah is saying, this is the type of fitna. People around you are going to be a fitna as well. Don't give in to that. In fact, stay steady, be persistent. Allah knows that you're going through a tough time. أَوَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَعْلَمَ بِمَا فِي صُدُورِ الْعَالَمِينَ Is not God aware of what is in the hearts of the people? Allah knows what you're going through. So just be patient. Allah will bring you through this difficult time. And this is something that is not an easy thing to deal with, of course. Islamophobia is very devastating. It has effects on a person's mental health. It has effects on a person's physical health. And it puts all of us at risk as a community. All of these are very difficult things. Peer pressure is very difficult to deal with. But all of these are fitna. Like Allah said, believers will be tested. That is our life. We are going to go through tough times. The one who is patient for his own good. And Allah will help him through that. Okay. Now Allah will mention going forward some examples of prophets that have endured fitna. Prophets of Allah are used as historical evidences for how to behave in good and bad times. How to be grateful, how to be patient, how to call people to Islam, how to face an adversary. All of that is given, all the precedent for it is given to us by Allah by mentioning what the prophets previously used to do. So here, also Allah will mention what the prophets did. Nuh alayhi salam, Allah mentioned that he suffered a prolonged fitna. Not just fitna for a little while, prolonged fitna. We sent Noah to his people and he lived among them for 50 short of 1,000 years. That is 950 years. Then the deluge overtook them and they were wrongdoers. So Nuh al-Islam's fitna was a very large extended fitna. 950 years he had to suffer. But he did suffer for 950 years, calling these people patiently to the worship of Allah. Okay. Then Allah talks about not so prolonged, but something way more intense. And that is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's fitna was very intense. When he called his people to worship Allah alone, what was the response of the people? They said, kill him or burn him. اُقْتُلُوهُ أَوْ حَرِّقُوهُ فَأَنْجَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ النَّارِ And as a miracle, Allah saved him from the fire that they had stoked to burn him in. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ So Ibrahim alayhi salam was, you know, the fitna was very intense. The fire literally is like a fitna. It is literally going to burn a person. But Ibrahim alayhi salam endured that with patience, and Allah's help came to him as he was going through that difficulty, right? He wasn't left alone by Allah. And this is the thing that Allah wants us to realize. He will not just leave us alone in the face of the difficulties that we are experiencing. Then he mentions Lut alayhi salam. فَآمَنَ لَهُ Lut. Of all the people, from the nation of Ibrahim, the one who really only believed in him was his nephew Lut. And then Allah chose him to be a prophet. And as this prophet Lut alayhi salam was giving da'wah to people, what happened? He had to suffer as well. He suffered when his people had the most grave sexual deviancies and tendencies. إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ You approach men, or you are men, you know, engage in homosexual behavior. وَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ You are commit robberies, and you are وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ You say things that are repulsive. Okay? The stuff that you talk about, the stuff that you discuss, the stuff that you do for intimacy, all of that is disgusting. Okay? So then his people wanted to kick him out, and they were like, okay, bring the punishment. Bring down God's punishment upon us if what you're saying is true. Now the intensely stressful fitna that he had to go through was when the angels came to Lut alayhi salam, the people were like trying to seduce the angels, or they were trying to kidnap the angels, because angels came in the form of men. And that was a very intense fitna that Lut a.s. had to experience. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him and said to him that you head out. Inna munajjuka wa ahlaka illa mra'ataka. We will, la takhaf wa la tahzan. Don't fear, don't grieve. We shall certainly save you and your household, except your wife, who will be among those who will stay behind. She will be punished. And we will surely bring down a punishment from heaven on the people of this town because of their persistent sinning. Bima kanu yafsuqun. The idea here is, again, I had mentioned to you this before, I'll mention this to you again. The Prophet, when the Prophet is sent and the people reject the Prophet, there is a punishment that Allah would unleash upon those people. The exception being Yunus, because Yunus alayhi salam left before he was supposed to. And then the last of these this way was Musa and Fir'aun. Pharaoh was the last of those who got wiped away by a divine punishment of Allah. After that, it is Allah testing the believers. It is Allah helping the believers. Sometimes the believers win, other times the believers lose. Sometimes the Prophet wins, sometimes the Prophet loses. But in this instance, this is Allah's divine wrath, because these people rejected the Prophet. And also on top of that, they had the most persistent and most deviant type of sins that they would commit. And thus their punishment was very, very intense. Fitna again. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a whole host of other prophets. إِلَى مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا شُعَيْبٍ. But then they rejected Shu'aib, Aad and Thamud, the tribes of Aad, وَلَا عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا وَلَا ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا. Hud and Salih were sent to Aad and Thamud. But Allah says something very interesting about them. And this is something that He doesn't mention about them in other places, but He mentions it here. Because fitna, trial, wasn't just something that, or these people weren't just like, fools who wouldn't recognize what's right and what's wrong. In fact, to the contrary, they recognized what was right, they recognized what was wrong, and they chose to side with what's wrong. And that's why the wrath was unleashed. Look at what Allah says. Satan made their actions seem good to them. The choices they made, Satan made it seem like those choices were good choices, and turned them away from the straight path. Even though they were intelligent people, they were able to discern between what's right and what's wrong. Allah had given them that ability, yet they chose to align themselves with evil against the Prophet of Allah, who came with evidences and proofs, and that was, their choice. And then the punishment of Allah was the consequence of their choice. He mentions also, of course, Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, and Musa, all right? Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, these are, Qarun is actually if a Bani Israelite, he was a Jewish person who was basically like Fir'aun's agent. Fir'aun would control Bani Israel through their own people, right? I mean, imagine you've enslaved the people for so many years. How do you suppress rebellion? You suppress rebellion by having some people who are sellouts from the inside, and you buy them off, and they become your, your informants, your agents. And then that's how you can suppress and oppress a people for, hundreds of years. And, this is that Pharaoh wrote the book on tyranny, and today people are still following the strategy of Pharaoh. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned. He says he came with the clear signs, but they were arrogant. They wouldn't want to change their ways. They wouldn't want to accept Musa, and thus couldn't escape the punishment. So Allah mentions the end of the adversaries of the prophets, right? All of them, what was their end? Their end was, we seize each one for his sins. So we struck with a violent storm. Some of them were overcome by a sudden blast, and some were swallowed up by the earth, and some we drowned. God did not wrong them. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ It was not Allah who wronged them, but they themselves wronged themselves. They oppressed themselves, and that is why they suffer. They made the choices, and they had to live with the consequences of their choices, and that is the people. A brief, you know, survey of history, how the prophets endured fitna, and how Allah helped them, and how people who rejected the prophet would not escape, right? The people who rejected prophets would not just get away with their rejection. The people who were evils, they got what was coming to them, okay? And that was demonstrated by Allah beautifully through the example, historical precedent of the prophets. Then he mentions the example of the house of the spider. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ اتَّخَذَتْ بَيْتًا Those who take protectors other than God can be compared to the spider which builds itself a cobweb. But the frailest of all structures is the house of the spider, if they but knew. Okay? Now, this is actually a very interesting word. إِنَّ أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ لَبَيْتُ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ Ankabut, the name of the surah, is the spider. Okay? And it's talking about the house of the spider, which is the cobweb or the web of the spider that the spider spins. Now, what's very interesting is Allah did not use the word, but inna أضعف البيوت لبيت العنكبوت. أضعف, ضعيف is the word for weak. Okay, but the word that's used here is أوهن. So the word وهن, which is the root letter, has some interesting connotations. It has the connotation of it has the connotation of weakness, of course, right? Someone that becomes weak. But it also has the connotation of somebody who is, I'm looking at some Arabic notes here. I didn't have a time to copy paste them, so I'm just going to read it from here. Okay. It is also it has the connotation of someone who is, there is an element of striving, an element of juhd. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْن His mother bore him وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْن through pain after pain. What does that mean? Well, that means that the mother, of course, became weak as, you know, she became pregnant. You know, there's a sense of weakness that a mom would feel as she is, you know, carrying a baby. But also she is going through like a difficult situation. It is like a trial that she was going through, and she stuck with it and came out on the other end of this trial, right? That's you can definitely say that about how a pregnancy goes, and that's what one of the meaning of the words wahan is, how it's used, weakness, and also someone who is like striving in a way, continuing to strive, continuing to pursue what they're trying to get. Now, here's an interesting, how is this interesting? The spider web is actually a pretty intense material, right? It is, it traps things in it that are actually very, very, that are much heavier than the spider, you know, like ants and, you know, bees and flies are all trapped in it. And it actually has some chemical properties that shows that the molecular structure was actually very strongly bonded together. Okay, so here is the example, and this is the beauty of the Quran's precise word choice. If Allah had said, "Inna أَضْعَفَ buyut," the weakest house, then actually that will be not correct. Okay, but Allah used the word "awhan," which has both interesting meanings. One is that the house is, you know, it achieves a purpose. It like gets you to where you need to go. The house of the spider achieves the purpose of the spider. The spider is able to catch its prey and have its meal, right? And in fact, it does a very good job. But at the same time, the house is frail. It doesn't take much to break it, right? You can take like a stick, or you can take your finger, that's a little disgusting, but it's okay, and you can like just break it apart very, very fast. So it is a very precise and very amazing word choice by Allah here. And it ties back to the example that the people who are worshipping other than Allah, it is a very attractive thing. They are attracted to it. It's like the bee getting trapped in the spider's web. The idea of worshiping other idols or other deities or other religions or other human beings as gods is an attractive idea, and people get trapped in it. And there is, you know, it gets people to where they need to. You know, they get like a spiritual high, they get a sense of community, you know, it does the job. But it's like the house of the spider, that it could break apart if you were to hold it to some scrutiny. If you were to ask, how is this person a god? How is this idol, rock, stone, a way to get closer to Allah? Then it breaks apart very fast, just like the house of the spider. So how precise and how amazing is the choice of the words of the Quran, أَوْهَنَ الْبُيُوتِ, to specify that, you know, there is the house... It does have a purpose that it can be achieved. The people who are worshiping idols, they actually get something out of their idol worship, or worshiping people, they get something out of it. But at the same time, the foundation of it is weak and rotten, just like the house of the spider easily could be torn apart, and likewise this could easily be torn apart as well. A non-monotheistic basis can easily be refuted. So this is a very beautiful example that Allah gives here. And then Allah mentions right after this the Quran, ayah number 45, right? He says, "Inna Allah ya'lamu." Allah knows what they invoke besides Him. He is mighty, the wise. And these are examples. Tilka al-amthal. These are the examples that we give for people. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving such an amazing array of examples. وَمَا يَعْقِلُهَا إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ, but only those who have knowledge will understand it. And here, again, the subtlety of the Quran's language, عَالِم, not ulama. The plural is used as عَالِمُون, not ulama. And one of the implications of this is that this is a person who understands, you know, nature, has a understanding of the creation of Allah, and also an understanding of the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The word ulama is generally used to talk about religious scholarship or clergy. But alimun includes someone who understands religion and also understands the amazing, wondrous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these examples are truly understood and appreciated by people who have that full perspective. But how few are those people who really give due to the words of Allah as it's to be given, and connect His words to His miraculous signs outside? We ask Allah to make us those people. It shows the way to interfaith dialogue, because this is now a way. We're talking about the foundations of a faith, monotheism versus polytheism. This is now going to lead into interfaith dialogue. But before Allah gets to that, He says, firstly, your way out of fitna is the Quran. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. Recite what's been revealed to you of the book and establish the prayer. That's your way out of fitna. Fitna of life, all types of fitna in life. And also, if you're engaged in interfaith dialogue and explaining to people what's right and what's wrong, you're going to go through fitna. You're going to be asked. You will be, you will be pushed to evaluate your beliefs. The ship that will help you sail those rocky waters is the Quran and your salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Prayer restrains. In fact, prayer stops a person from doing something that's evil and doing something that is immoral and indecent, something that's shameful. Al fahsha is a shameful act, an act that has a sexual connotation. Salah, if a person is praying correctly, their salah will stop them from that indecency, that immorality. Munkar is evil. If a person is praying correctly, they're praying with meaning, their prayer will stop them from committing evil. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. God has knowledge, and the remembrance of God is greater, and He has knowledge of all your actions. SubhanAllah, interfaith dialogue, the way it should be done, is it should be done through the Qur'an. Interfaith dialogue, the way to it is through Al-Quran. وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Believers argue only in the best way with the people of the book. And that best way is through the Quran. All right? and invite them to come, together. Invite them to come to what is, the right way. آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ. We believe in what's been revealed to us, and we believe in what's been revealed to you. Our God and your God is one. We want them to not feel like we are attacking them all the time. Okay, we actually want them to say, look, man, we share a common, heritage, a common, the prophets, we believe in them. But now your understanding of it has deviated from the understanding of Ibrahim, for example. And that's our way to call them. Wa ilahuna wa ilahukum wahid. Your God and our God is the same, and to him we submit. And that is a beautiful example. That's a beautiful way to conduct interfaith dialogue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he provides an example. When someone, you're engaging them in interfaith dialogue, they might ask you, they're like, well, why should I believe this prophet, right? How is he not just plagiarizing from previous scripture? Allah responds and he says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَطْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ. You were not able to read any book before this, nor did you write one down with your hand. You weren't able to read, you weren't able to write. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, him bringing these detailed information from about the Bible and what it contains, and about Bani Israel's history and what it has, how is he accessing that if he can't read and he can't write? Writing is important for a person to compose their thoughts. How is he producing this content that is, exactly what is correct, is precise 100%, and it is beautiful in its composition? How is he doing this without being able to write it and edit it and compose it and then produce it? That is the question that Allah asks, and that is the thing that we reply with when we engage with interfaith dialogue. The Prophet could not have plagiarized this. He didn't know how to read. He didn't have access to it, and he didn't know how to write, so he couldn't compose and gather his thoughts. This is بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. It is a revelation. That is why it is the word of God, and that's why he is a prophet of Allah. And this revelation of God is فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. You could see the effect of it on the people. It's not just like theoretical stuff. You see people change through it for the better. And that is an amazing description that Allah gives of the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran. And he says also that one of the greatest ayat, people ask for signs, miracles, one of the greatest signs that a person can see, أَوَلَمْ يَكْفِيهِمْ أَنَّا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ. Is it not sufficient for them that we have sent to you or sent down to you the book, يُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ, that is recited upon them? Isn't this enough of an evidence, enough of a miracle? Subhanallah. In this book is a mercy and a reminder for the people who believe. A beautiful, beautiful way to engage in interfaith dialogue. A beautiful way to the Quran reminding us that the prophets engaged in dialogue. That's the job of the people, follow the prophets. But the way we have to do it is through the Quran. That's the ship that will help us navigate these rocky waters. And that's the best way to invite others to Islam. Okay, Allah reminds us that tests are a part of life. Don't think that because you're a good person, you won't be tested, right? Allahu yabsutu rizqa liman yasha'u wa yaqdir. Allah gives abundantly to whom He wills and sparingly to whom He pleases. That doesn't show Allah loves one or the other. The Prophet was not very well off. Many, many great people didn't have a lot. Wealth doesn't mean that Allah loves you. And also to the contrary, wealth doesn't mean Allah loves you either. The Pharaoh was one of the richest people ever. Doesn't show anything. Wealth is just, that is Allah's decree. It's like the color of your skin. It's like the color of your eyes. That's how Allah made you. Your wealth oftentimes is what Allah has decreed for you. It's your destiny. It doesn't show like love or wrath of Allah. It doesn't show anything. It only shows that it is tests are a part of life, and we have to understand that there is wisdom behind Allah's giving and Allah's taking. And subhanAllah, the test for us is we should be patient in the face of difficulties and thankful in the face of good stuff that Allah gives us. وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمُ وَلَعِبٌ. and the realization that this life is nothing but a sport and a diversion. Lahu wa la'ib. It's a distraction. And we shouldn't get distracted by it. Our eyes should be focused on the ad-dar al-akhirah, the next life. That's the one. Lahiya al-hayawan. Hayawan from the word hayah, life. It is full of life. Rahma, Rahman, full of mercy. Hayah, hayawan, full of life. The life that is full of life is the next life. That's what our goal should be. And the tests of this life are just Allah's plan and a test for us, and for us to be patient through good and bad. And don't let that make you fickle. وَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Don't let, don't become like the person who, when they're in trouble, they call to God. And when they are not in trouble, they go back to their evil ways. لِوَلِيَتَمَتَّعُوا فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. But Allah says they will soon come to know what it is. A beautiful sign, a beautiful ayah for Quraysh. One of the, this ayah, I actually really love this ayah. It's an amazing ayah. And I always feel like it is an underappreciated ayah. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Have they not seen how we have granted them a safe sanctuary, though all around them people are being snatched away? Meaning, the people of Mecca were enjoying or enjoyed for centuries. This is when the Prophet was there. The peace and security that nobody else in Arabia enjoyed. Everybody else in Arabia was constantly under attack by one tribe or the other, by one, a warring faction or the other. Their, goods will get robbed, their families will get kidnapped. You know, it's a brutal society and there's no supreme court of law. The only people who were immune from this were the Meccans. And why were the Meccans immune from this? The Meccans were immune from this because they were acknowledged throughout Arabia as the guardians of the house of Ibrahim, the Kaaba, the house of Allah that Ibrahim built. And because of that, their money was not robbed when they would do business. Their properties were respected. Their lives were respected. And that was something that existed in a lawless society. And that allowed the Quraysh to thrive, that allowed them to become super powerful and super wealthy because they had peace. So they can go and trade in peace and their wealth would be secure without the fear of getting robbed. And that was an amazing thing. Allah says, don't you see how in the middle of chaos and destruction, we have given you peace and security? And just why? Because you are the guardians of our house. Right? Isn't this Allah's favor upon you? Isn't this a great sign from Allah that Allah is the one who has given you all and all that you have is because of Him? Not just as a person, as a human being, but all your prosperity is because Allah chose you to be the descendants of Ibrahim and live next to His house in the Kaaba. Subhanallah. How amazing is that? أَفَبِالْبَاطِلِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Yet you believe in falsehood and deny the favor of Allah. How terrible is that? Okay? Allah concludes by saying that fitna is all around us, but the conclusion is keep striving. Keep striving. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We will guide those, we will surely guide in our ways those who strive hard for our cause, and God is surely with the righteous. SubhanAllah. The surah began by talking about the one who strives is doing so for his own good. It ends by saying, you strive for your own good, Allah will help you strive and will be with you. SubhanAllah. He will not leave you alone in the face of difficulties. He will be with you and He will be with you always. SubhanAllah. And that's a beautiful conclusion to Surah An-Kabut. Next is Surah Ar-Rum. Ar-Rum, not room as in like a room, but Rum is the Byzantine Empire. Okay? That is who the Romans are. Rum means Romans, but what it's actually referring to is the Byzantine Empire that were adjacent to the Arabian Peninsula, and they were at a prolonged war with the Sassanid Empire, the Persians. Okay, this surah, the theme of it is the signs of Allah are clear and they are everywhere. The signs of Allah are, you know, spread out everywhere. Now, what happens is this surah says something very interesting. Okay, I put these like little annotations there for you. They're from Wikipedia, but they check out. Okay. What does Allah say here? Alif Lam Mim. Again, surah begins with Alif Lam Mim. Ghulibat ar-Rum. The Byzantines have been defeated, not the Romans, Byzantines. Fi adna al-ard, in a nearby land, and they will reverse their defeat with a victory. Fi bid'i sinin, within a few years, precisely within 9 years. Lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'd, because bid' is actually 9. Okay, bid' is the word for 9. It's a range from a certain a number to up to 9. And there's wisdom in Allah saying bid' and not tis'a, like the word 9, because historically, keeping track of events, there is the lunar calendar and the Gregorian calendar. And if you were to make it exactly 9, it actually could fall a little bit above or below the figure, depending on how you count the years. But bid'a gives enough of a linguistic range to allow it to exactly fit perfectly, subhanAllah. Al-amru lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'd. God, with God rests all power of decision, first and last. And on that day, the believers too will have a cause to rejoice. وَيَوْمَ إِذِن يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. With the help of God, He helps whom He pleases. He's the mighty and the merciful. Let me give you a background. The Byzantine Empire, you can go read a little bit of their history. They were destroyed by the Sassanid Empire in the year 615. And that's when this ayah was revealed. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ. Okay? They were devastated. So hard, Heraclius, their emperor, was about to submit to the Persian Empire, right? He was about to let the Byzantine Empire become a client state of the Persian Empire, which would be like a humiliation. But that didn't happen. And Heraclius, within, you know, a few years, by 622, was able to mount a counter-offensive, and not just mount a counter-offensive, by March 624, he actually attacked the Persian heartland, because Constantinople is Istanbul, to the modern-day Istanbul. From that, he went all the way to modern-day Iran and managed to attack the Sassanid Empire at its core within 9 years. And in March 624 also was the Battle of Badr. And it is, like Allah says, on that day, the believers will also have a great victory, بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ, by the victory, by the great permission of Allah, or by the victory of Allah. SubhanAllah, how amazing. This is one of the surahs that predicts the future. And this is one of the great signs of Allah, that when the ayah was revealed, the Byzantine Empire was in ruins, and the ayah predicted two things. The Byzantines will be back, okay? And number two, the believers will also win the same day the Byzantines win. And that's both things happen, subhanAllah. And how amazing is this Quran? And this is something, you know, that should leave no doubt that this is the word of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ had no way of knowing this and predicting it in this way. And, you know, like, there were no odds. You know, Heraclius was about to submit. He was about to become a client state of the Byzantine, of the Sassanids. So this was an amazing prediction. The people of Mecca were laughing when the ayah was revealed. But then, subhanAllah, they weren't laughing at the Battle of Badr when the ayah was fulfilled. Signs of Allah are all around us. This is the theme of this surah. Signs of Allah are clear. The Quran is the sign of Allah. Clearly, this is Allah's word. Here are more signs of Allah all around us for us to recognize who Allah is. Ayah number 17. Okay, and if you've gone to a wedding, you would have heard these ayat. That's what's recited in weddings, if you've been to a wedding. Okay? فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. Glorify God in the evening and the morning. And praise be to Him in the heavens and on the earth. And glorify Him in the late afternoon and at midday, at the time of the evening. At the time, evening time is after Asr, before sunset. Morning time is basically after Fajr, before sunrise. عَشِيًّا is, you know, late afternoon or around between Dhuhr and Asr time. And Tuzhirun is midday time. That this is the time of Dhuhr. Okay? Meaning, even as you are working and doing what you have to do, don't forget to remember Allah and be thankful to him. He is the one because brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living. He gives life to the earth after its death, and you shall be raised to life in the same way. وَكَذَلِكَ تُخْرَجُونَ. This expression of bringing forth the living from the dead is a reference to how the earth is dead, or how the trees they shed their leaves and now they're all barren and then they come back to life. The dead from the living is a reference to a test that a person will go through, a reference to a person who has a miscarriage or a stillbirth, which is a dead fetus emerging from a living human. And that is it's Allah's power. The spectrum of Allah's power is what Allah is showing you, right? He can bring the living from the living, right? That's an easy, obvious one to understand. But also living from the dead and dead from the living as well. The spectrum of Allah's power is at full display here. Surah number 30, ayah 19. He says also, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. He created you from dust. And then look and behold, you are now humans, multiplied yourselves throughout the earth. إِذَا أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ تَنْتَشِرُونَ. Turab is a reference to the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and then the rest of us are spread on the earth as descendants of Adam. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And this is the ayah you will hear in weddings. Huh? Another one of his signs is that he has created from you spouses from among you, so that you may find repose in them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He has created between you affection and kindness. Subhanallah. That is the purpose of getting married, to find comfort. تَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. You can, live with them and enjoy your life as a married person. And Allah has put a sense of, there's an emotional love. Mawadda has more like, you're attracted to somebody. Rahma is more mercy, kindness. Even if you're not like so attracted after certain years, but you still love each other and you're still there for each other. And you support each other. Both of those things go together. And that's the beauty of marriage, right? It's not just one or the other. And that actually transcends, cultures and religions. This is from Allah's signs that He has created human beings like that, right? Because look, the ayah before talks about basharun tantashirun, humans all around. This is a human phenomena that Allah is saying is a sign from Him, because He's built that system. His sign is that خَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creations of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, and the diversity of your languages and the colors of your skins. That is a sign of لِلْعَالِمِينَ, for those who truly know. And again, the plural عَالِمِينَ is used here. The ones who understand scripture and the ones who understand the creation of Allah, who are able to appreciate it. Subhanallah. This is an amazing thing. This idea of lil'alimin, or the diversity in a person's creation, is something that's very interesting. It shows that we are a diverse group of creatures, but our Lord is one and uniquely one, and that's how we're all related. The person online who's saying that nonsense, I will eventually delete you from my Facebook page. But if you can predict the future for 9 years and predict it correctly, then, we'll talk. But right now, go on your way. I don't stand trolls. I will put them down. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِقَاءُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Among his signs are that at day, at night or in daytime, you are seeking his bounty. Your sleep is a sign. Truly, in this are signs for people who hear. لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. People's minds are closed, their hearts are closed. Who can help them? وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Amongst his signs, he shows you the lightning, giving rise to both fear and hope. And he sends down water from the sky, giving life thereby to the earth after it had been lifeless. In this, behold, are signs indeed for people. لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. You have to listen. You have to learn and study. You have to use your reasoning. That is what Allah says, if you like to recognize Him. From His signs is that أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِهِ. أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره, that the heavens and the earth stand firm by his command, and when إذا دعاكم دعوة من الأرض إذا أنتم تخرجون, when he calls you, behold, from the earth you will come forth on the day of judgment. Again, creation and resurrection are mentioned together. He talks about the creation, how amazing it is, how glorious it is, how many aspects of it we have to appreciate, how many aspects of it we have to think about and study and ponder. But the connection that is to be made is the one who made all of this will bring you back to life again for accountability. Your choices here, you have to be cognizant that they will have consequences in the next life. إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ. These are beautiful signs that he describes. He gives some logical examples. All right. He says, like, he is the one who originated the creation. He repeats it. You know, creation is a process. It happens every single day. And that is وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. And that's easy for him. Another interpretation. He brought you in the world the first time and he will bring you back again. يُعِيدُهُ. He will bring you back, return you again. And the returning is even easier than bringing you in the first place. The first time, the second time is easier than the first time, right? That's what the ayah is referring to. وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ. So it's, if you have any doubt about being resurrected, you know, you shouldn't. You exist. That should tell you that Allah can bring you back if he brought you into existence in the first place, and the bringing back is even easier for him. وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. And the highest and the most perfect example is for him. He is the mighty and the wise. He gives examples, logical examples. Does it make sense to worship another idol or another deity? How does that make any sense? You know, look at the servants. Do you هل لكم مما ملكت أيمانكم من شركاء فيما رزقناكم فأنتم فيه سواء تخافونهم كخيفتكم أنفسكم. You know, if you have a servant and a person who is a master, you know, those two aren't equal. The master has leverage, power, authority, can do whatever he wants. The servant doesn't, right? How you won't equate these two people in life. How can you equate Allah, who is the creator of everything, and a human being or some rock or some stone or something that can't do anything, right? How can you equate Allah with that? That's even worse, right? That's even worse and even more logically infeasible. Gives another example. In ayah number, and before he gives example, he actually talks about why people don't really believe. وَلِتَّبَعَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. People who are unjust, they follow their own desires without having knowledge. That's the reason. People are looking to just have fun, a good time, enjoy their life. They're not into changing, especially when change is difficult. And they're not into learning, because that would be, you know, the realization would make them change the course of actions that they take. That is one of the reasons. Remember, the Quran highlights the reasons for disbelief, and one of the chief reasons remains the love for material gain. That is something that is devastating, and that is an example that the Quran gives frequently. Allah mentions also another logical example. He is the one, Allahu الذي خلقكم ثم رزقكم ثم يميتكم ثم يحييكم. He is the one who created you, then he provides for you, and then will cause you to die, and then bring you back to life after your death. هل من شركائكم من يفعل من ذلكم من شيء? Is there any other deity who can do anything similar? سبحانه وتعالى عما يشركون. Glory be to him. Exalted be he above anything that they associate with him. Subhanallah. Again, a logical example for us to think. An example he gives us of resurrection. اللَّهُ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحِ. It is he who sends out the winds so they can raise the clouds. فَتُثِيرُ sahaba. Raise the clouds is actually not actually a great translation. So they can, athara is to actually bring things together as well. The particles of the water molecules that are floating around, the winds bring them together, and as they become more condensed, the gravity of them attracts more and more, and the wind hand in hand, you know, becomes like a cyclical process, continues to, you know, pack this mountain. فَيُبْسُطُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. And then he spreads them on the sky as he places them. as he wills, and وَيَجْعَلُهُ كِسَفًا, layer upon layer. Now as they're becoming more and more packed, فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ, you see the rain is issuing forth from their midst. SubhanAllah, a very beautiful description of how rain falls. It's a beautiful thing that happens. It's a way for Allah to provide for us, to provide us relief, to provide us with water for our lives, for our sustenance. فَإِذَا أَصَابَ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ, when He causes it to fall on whichever of His servants He pleases, behold, they rejoice. But when it before that, before it was sent, they were really, really despair, like in a state of despair. وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمُبْلِسِينَ, before it came down, they were like, oh, there is no hope left for us. SubhanAllah. So Allah says, don't be fickle. Don't be fickle in the face of difficulties. Be patient when there's tough times. Be thankful in good times. And look at the example of the rain. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, look therefore at the signs of God's mercy. How He resurrects the earth after its death. كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى, truly the same God will resurrect the dead. إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, He has power over all things. Just like Allah will bring us, just like Allah brings the dead earth back to life, He will bring dead people back to life. Just like the rain is the catalyst for people, for crops growing, the word of Allah will be the catalyst for the people to be resurrected back on the day of judgment. Allah gives a final example here. Again, the surah's theme is the miracles and the examples of Allah, how many, how amazing they are. He gives one final example of aging. He says, He is the one who created you in a state of weakness as a baby. And then He granted you strength. Then later on, He gave you infirmity and gray hairs in place of strength. You started weak as a baby, grew stronger as an adult, and then declined again as an old person. SubhanAllah. That shows you your creation. This isn't the be-all, end-all. This life isn't the only thing that is that matters. This life starts and ends, and this isn't the only thing that you should be working for and building for. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْقَدِيرُ, we should be working for the next life and be certain of the next life. Because you see, the next ayah says what? يَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ, when the last hour arrives, the evildoers will swear they have been tarried on for an hour and they have always been deluded. Again, creation on this ayah, next ayah, resurrection. Very important principle the Quran says, and the Quran then says about itself, وَلَقَدْ ضَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ, Allah has given every type of example for people in this Quran. And yet, if you bring them an example, like I was mentioning the example of how miraculously the surah spoke about the future, like there's some clown on the Facebook comments saying that this is not true. In antum illa mubtilun, that's what they say. You are only making false claims. Literally, like the person there is validating what the Quran is saying, right? كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, in this way, God seals the hearts of those who do not want to know the truth. That's how it works, right? But as for us, فَصْبِرْ, be patient in the promise of Allah, because it is true, إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ, that not those who will not be convinced make you discouraged. Don't get discouraged by people's things, what people say, their attitudes. You remain patient and you continue with your work, and you continue to study and admire the great signs of Allah that are all around us. Surah Luqman, if I can take a couple of minutes to address Surah Luqman as well, I would appreciate that. I think we're going a little bit over the hour every day because there's so much good content. I don't want to skip anything. I'm trying my best to condense everything, so I appreciate your patience. And iftar is a little further out now, so alhamdulillah, we can be okay. Surah Luqman is named after Luqman, the wise. This is a righteous man who lived, and Allah mentions how amazing he was. And this particular surah addresses how we should focus on our families, how we should raise our kids to be appreciative of Allah's signs and to be devoted to Allah's religion. Allah says He has given Luqman wisdom, and the wisdom that He gave Luqman was anishkur lillah, be grateful to God. Whoever is grateful for his own soul, for their own benefit. But if someone is ungrateful, then surely God is self-sufficient and praiseworthy. Luqman says to his son, "Oh my son, وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ." He is, counseling him. He's like reaching out to his son and wants to say something to him to, convince him, to bring him closer to Islam. He says to his son, "Oh my son, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ." Do not associate anything with God, because إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Associating others with Him is a terrible wrong. It is a great, or in fact, the greatest injustice. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ. Allah mentions parents. Like, here is a beautiful family where they're both trying to do the same thing. But, sometimes the families don't work out that way, right? Sometimes the families are where the parents are pressing the children to disobey Allah. So Allah says, فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا. Don't obey them in that case. But وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Be kind to them. Be good to them in this world. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And follow the path of those who turn to me. Okay? Follow the right path, but also be good to your parents, because you being good to them is because, look, حَمَلَتُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ. The parents, specifically the mother, she bore the child in hardship upon hardship. Okay? And then after the childbirth, it gets more difficult. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَمَيْنٍ. The nursing and the raising of the child. It is very tough. It's a hard, hard grind. Allah says, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Thank me and your parents. Right? Because they have raised you. And even if the parents didn't do much, like I mentioned, the fact that Allah chose them for us is something that we are thankful to Allah for, and we are appreciative to them because they were chosen by Allah as to be our parents. Okay? He says, after this little tangent about the parents, he goes back to Luqman. Right? Here, this was a tangent on families that don't work out so well. Goes back to Luqman, the families that do work out really well. What is that? Luqman further said, "Oh my son, though it be the weight of a grain of mustard seed, hidden in a rock, or in the sky, or on the earth, Allah will bring it forth on the day of judgment. Then you should know that Allah is Latifun Khabir." Meaning, my child, Allah, nothing is hidden from Him. And everything is in a clear record. He knows everything extremely well. The things that are subtle, the things that are not so subtle. So my son, don't ever think you can lie to Allah, or you can lie about the religion. Don't ever think you can do something and then lie about it and get away with it, because Allah is always watching. And if you're trying to lie about practicing Islam, then you're only lying to yourself. And that is a very important understanding that clarifies how we should view our relationship with Allah. Allah is not to be fooled. He knows everything. And if you think we are fooling Him, we're fooling ourselves. And Allah is holding us accountable and watching over us. That means we should be careful of the choices we make publicly and privately. And especially privately. Especially when we are in our private moments. Ya Bunayya. It also tells you, by the way, the priority of how we should teach our religion to our kids. First, the Allah is the one who is worthy of worship. Then Allah is the one who will hold you accountable. I'm not your policeman. Allah will hold you accountable. Be watchful and careful of Him. Then comes the actions of Islam. Ya bunayya aqim as-salah, establish the prayer. Wa'mur bil ma'roof, command the good. Wanha anil munkar, forbid the evil. Wasbir ala ma asabak, be patient, endure patiently what happens to you. It's okay. Good and bad is part of life. It's part of Allah's plan. There's wisdom. Just chill out and take it easy. Inna dhalika min azm al-umur. That is something that requires firm resolve. Amazing how he's instructing his child. Inna dhalika min azm al-umur. Wa la tusa'ir khaddaka lin-nas. Don't avert your face from people. Don't people are talking to you, don't just look away like as a non-verbal slight. Okay, don't do that. That's arrogant. That's disrespectful. That's insulting. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on the earth with pride. Don't walk around flaunting, you know, flaunting what your mama gave you, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Your God, Allah does not love the arrogant, boastful person. It's not a good attitude. That's not an attitude of a person who is, it's not a good, positive attitude, because it breeds narcissism. It breeds contempt for others. It breeds a lack of humility that prevents you from making the right decisions and prevents you from seeing your own mistakes. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ. Walk modestly. You know, have clear goals. Also another example. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Lower your voice. Don't, you know, like yell and scream. Also, وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ is don't always try to hear your own voice. Like your voice isn't the most important voice of all voices. Just, you know, say your piece and that's okay. You know, you're just one of the people. وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَوْ صَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Because the worst of all voices is the worst is the voice of the donkey. As Hamir here again. the donkey here is Hamir, right? So that is that, subhanAllah, Surah Luqman, a beautiful instruction from Allah that he mentioned with of his servant Luqman as he is advising his son, and how amazing of tarbiyah that is. We ask Allah to give us the ability to understand the Quran and Sunnah and to implement it in our lives. Jazakumullah khair, everybody, for sticking around till the end. I appreciate you all being here till the end. I'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same place. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.